Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
Coming up,
the Conservative sort of ministers that came out yesterday and were saying, it's unfortunate what he said, it's time to move on. No, we don't move on until you've acknowledged it and you said sorry and you think...
And you give the 10 million back.
It is Outcast UK, yes. Hello, it's Graham. And joining me on the show today, South London's Tart with a Heart, Topher Taylor. He's going to be in the studio with me here in London for a chat about the week's goings on in the LGBTQ plus world. Plus we're chatting Diane Abbott as well. We couldn't not really, because I'm a fan, Topher's met her, and what's gone on is a bit of a disgrace, to be honest. So we're chatting about that, but first to catch up with the latest LGBTQ plus news from around the world with Kev.
This is Outcast UK.
The thing I enjoy most about Florida's Don't Say Gay law is that to say don't say gay, you have to say gay. And as a clarification of the rule following a legal challenge, it means schools now know they can talk about sexual orientation and gender identity, they just can't teach children about it. So for example, LGBTQ plus references in literature are all right in the classroom, as is discussing queer family members. Trans teacher Micah DeSanti tells WPTV the law's the reason he recently quit Florida after 14 years.
I knew I needed to leave. Like, this is really just one tiny piece in a very large puzzle. The primary reason was I didn't feel safe being there anymore as an openly queer person.
The legal challenge also clarifies schools can have anti-bullying rules to protect LGBTQ plus students. Thousands of people have been protesting in a city in Greece after two transgender people were attacked by a mob. The pair were chased through the town square in Thessaloniki in the north, and bottles were thrown at them. 21 people are up on charges, including abuse with bigoted intent. There's 9 children among them. Thessaloniki is due to host EuroPride, a European LGBTQ plus celebration, in June. And puberty blockers won't be prescribed to children anymore at gender identity clinics by England's Health Service. The medications pause physical changes like the development of breasts or facial hair. They'll now only be available to children as part of clinical research trials. The UK government welcomes the move. Pride Daily needs your love. Give us a mention on your socials if you'd be so kind.
This is the UK's hottest LGBTQ plus podcast. Outspoken. Outrageous. Outcast UK.
Topher, welcome. Hi.
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 Thanks for having me. I got here in the end.
Yeah, you got here in the end. Welcome back to Outcast UK. We weren't here last week because, listen to me, do I sound like a well man? No.
Physically or mentally?
Well, both. Both. They've all been on the go over the last few months. But
Dubrink.
I've been ill. But I'm getting better, and that's all good. So, Topher, you were late today, and there's a good reason for this. This not me trying to put you on the spot or shame you. It's just a really good story.
Well, I feel like if the listeners are getting to know me, I am chaotic. And
it's chaos.
I am, and I don't mean to be, but this morning I got on the Northern Line because I'm used to going south. So I went into autopilot, got on the tube, realised I was going the wrong way, got off the tube, came back, and then got straight back on the same fucking tube again and went the wrong way again for the second time in a row.
So where you get on? You get on Stockwell?
Yeah, yeah. And then I came to
Kennington.
I was like, oh fuck, better go back to Stockwell so I can get the Victoria Line. Got straight back on the fucking Northern Line again and realised when I was back on at Kennington.
Oh no.
And I was like, what the fuck? And then when I get on the Victoria Line, I'm there, and then this man sat next to his wife. He gets up and sits opposite his wife. Then a man about 3 seats down from him is looking at me funny, and I'm like, why is everyone looking at me funny? I'm like, have I wiped? Do you got tube ash on your hands?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, have I wiped black?
Feeling all paranoid
me?
About it.
So yeah. I'm like, oh, have I got a stain on me? And then he stands up and he goes to me, that man's taking pictures of you on his phone. And he was kind of giving me the eye, the guy taking the picture.
With his wife sat there?
Yes, he moved.
You get
he was,
this, don't you? It always happens to you, this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's because I look like a hoe. But he was sat next to his wife. He got up, sat opposite her so he could do it. And then he's giving me the eye. And I'm like, how fucking disrespectful are you? Number one, to do it to me.
Yeah.
Number two, to do it to your wife.
Yeah.
And to move. And then some random man had to tell me.
Did he tell you loudly? Did people hear it?
He's like, but I just thought I'd let you know that man's taking pictures of you on his phone.
And what did the guy hear him tell you?
No, I just went to the guy, can you delete that, please? And then he deleted it. And I was like, can you delete it from recently deleted as well? And then luckily it was just as I was coming up to Seven Sisters.
Oh my God.
So yeah. I didn't have to do the awkward...
Yes,
I'll get into a scrap. I knew I would end up in a scrap or something.
So you just jumped straight out the door at Seven Sisters.
Yeah,
the trashiest stop on the Victoria.
It just made me feel sick. I'm like, because he was so gross, and he was giving me these like, do you like 90s porno? I'm turned on face. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is that? You're like, you're holding in a shit. Yeah, no, but he did, and I'm like, why? And I'm thinking, I thought I'd wiped blacks. Do when you get that?
Yeah, you get that paranoia that like someone's looking at you because you've done something wrong, and in actual fact, it's just them. You get this more than anyone I know.
It's because I think on first glance I look a little bit androgynous, and I'm very tall, and I've got bright blonde hair. Uh-huh. So I think it's just you naturally will get a little bit of attention, but some people don't know how to react when they're around a visibly queer tall person,
yeah,
who isn't like, and I'm wearing fucking jeans and a hoodie,
uh-huh,
and I was thinking I'm wearing an Alpha Industries jacket,
yeah,
so I'm not like feminine,
yeah,
I have my hood up,
but you do attract that attention, and I know this because I've seen it happen. I told you a dear friend of mine who has never expressed any interest in anyone of the same gender as them was couldn't stop talking about you.
I was just so irresistible, aren't I?
He's gorgeous. You've said he's gorgeous.
And they need to raise their standards. I am white trash. But it just annoyed me. It made me feel really, like, uncomfortable. And I'm like, I'm just on the fucking tube. Go away. Like, I'm not even dressed up.
Stop it. It's like Lord Emmett. It's like Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah, please. Oh, God, there's no way to talk about this without sounding like a prick, isn't there?
No, but you don't.
It was a violation. It made me feel deeply uncomfortable. And then the fact this other man had to tell me, it felt very embarrassing. Because he doesn't know why. I can't explain to him, oh, he's doing it because he fancies me. He's thinking, oh, he's doing it because you're like a faggot.
Yeah.
I thought I'd give the faggot a little bit of help.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't then go, oh, no, he's doing it because he finds me. I'm like, oh, no.
Maybe he subscribes to my OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Or maybe he does.
Well, he hasn't had a lot of new content recently because I've been off the fucking...
Oh, no. Well, for those who don't know, Topher's OnlyFans, we're always talking about it, but you've not been...
it's so deeply interesting.
No, it is though. You've not done some content recently because you've had a load of like family stuff going on. Like your granddad died and that, didn't he? And that's a lot of shit to process whilst trying to make new content, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to like feel sexual when you're handling a death and like my family are Irish. We're very all over each other. We're very interdependent. I won't say codependent. We're definitely sitting in each other's laps. We're all over each other. So it's really difficult to think, right, I need to get myself horny, dressed up, have sex, film it, get the guy to sign off, go through that when you're grieving. And I was really close to him, so it's very strange. So I've hemorrhaged subscribers.
Have you? Yeah,
but understandably,
you can get like that, can't it, on OnlyFans where you've got to kind of continuously hit them with content. And often, like, continuously hit them with content that's going to... continuously stimulate them because you show someone something once, they go, oh, it's really turned me on. You show it twice, oh, it's turned me on again. Three times, and they're going, oh, I've scratched the itch.
Like you say, your pop star kept releasing electro pop songs. Uh-huh. You go, I want them to do hard dance now. But if we're like, it's difficult. And then then I eventually did film. And then the guy I filmed with has kind of ghosted me, which is fine. It's his choice, but it's just fucked me over. And the timing couldn't be any worse because now it's like, I'm not 4 weeks out of content, I'm 5-6.
Right, yeah.
And like, just tell me if you don't want to do it. I don't care. I'm not going to judge. Like, you know how, like, on personal level, Graham, like, you know, I would never. I'd be like, cool, if you don't want to do it.
No, absolutely. That's the last thing you want, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, I'm so respectful, but he obviously isn't. So now I'm fucked over.
But you don't know what's going on. The thing is, with the kind of the nature of what it is, you don't know what's going on in their heads, do you? Like, I can only relate to that because I didn't make a podcast last week, and I was like, well, that's it now.
Yeah, you
panic. Podcast is done.
You feel like I've dropped all. I'm trying to spin plates, and I've dropped, and then you realize. Oh, it's really difficult for me because I'm trying to create... I'm not like a porn star at all. I just document my sexual side sometimes. So it's difficult to try and keep it sincere and keep it sensual and keep it special whilst also thinking I also need to provide content regularly, because it's like you would unsubscribe from Netflix or Hey You if you weren't getting regular TV shows.
Yeah.
So it's like a fucking balancing act, and I'm really, this is the first time I've really, really felt it.
Yeah.
And this is the first time the magic has really worn off for me, and it's felt like work.
Oh, okay.
And I never wanted it to feel like work, so it's been a very humbling experience.
You've got to give yourself time to move through the feelings that you're having, that they're going to jar with feeling horny, aren't they? Like, I guess the best case scenario is when, do you ever go through a period where your sex drive is through the roof? I remember this time, like, I feel fucking awful this moment, because I've been ill for a month, essentially.
When I'm ill, I get very horny.
Do you?
Yeah, I get really aroused.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I think it's a dehydration thing for me, because I'm the same when I'm hungover.
Yeah. But this time last year, my sex drive, as a drug-free thing, was absolutely off the charts. I was like, I wanted sex a lot. It was important to me.
Yeah.
I wish I could feel like that right now. And I bet you for you, having that as a feeling, like the hangover horn kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But it's super useful, because you're like, oh, well, I feel like making content today.
You pump shit out because you're in this mood. And like, it's very difficult. And I maybe it's something I didn't think about properly when I started doing this was, and obviously now I'm a little bit financially dependent on it in to a degree. And you're like, oh, this has got to be continuous. I've got to keep this up. And you're like, but I don't want to make... Like, I know it is sex work, but I wouldn't patronise real sex workers by saying I'm a real proper sex worker, because for me it's...
Well, what is a real proper sex worker? You always say... You're one of them that always says, well, I don't want to patronise, I don't want to... But you are. You do fulfill that role properly. You can...
I know.
If you want to take that label, you can.
I feel like there are people who use it as a career, and they're like, they collab. Uh-huh. They maybe escort, they do their things. And I think that's such a fucking incredible thing to be doing, and difficult and mentally hard.
Yes.
I wouldn't compare myself with them. On the same thing, I need to remember that people are subscribing and they want this content, so I've just got to keep lining it up. So luckily, someone who I really love having sex with, who ironically has the biggest dick I've ever seen in my life, mm-hmm. Who's a really, really nice guy, he wants to film tomorrow, but I'm actually going to attempt to do it today because I'm in work mode.
Right.
So I almost feel as like this is the one time I'm going to be doing it where I'm not doing it because I'm 100% horny. I'm doing it because I need the content.
Right, okay.
Which is something I promised myself I would never do. But I also have people who've paid me, and I want to be respectful to that. So I'm going to try it, try forcing myself into it, and see how it goes.
The thing with sex, though, is like the number of times I've not... I mean, generally my sex drive is quite high, but the number of times I've been like, oh, I don't know if I can get into this.
Yeah.
And then when you do, you're like, oh, I'm really glad I did this.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed that's the way it is for you. Though, I mean, but everyone's going to be able to see it.
Really tall, really handsome, really nice. He's got an amazing cock. Like, he's very sensual. He's a really nice, gentle guy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how I'm not going to be aroused when he's on top of me.
There you go. It's just kind of prepping it that's probably doing your
And he's got balls, like two snooker balls in a sock.
You love that, don't you?
Like a schlop. Smacks you underneath.
You do. You love that. Look at this, by the way. I got this earlier on today and I was like, you've sent this to the wrong person. This woman's been on to me. This girl asking, right, she's very pretty.
Why does she want to be on the podcast?
No, sometimes I get that. People get on kind of in the podcast. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know you. I don't know what you're going to say. But if you do want to be on the podcast, reach out and maybe I'll let you on.
Yeah, especially tarts. And we're going to be doing a tart thing, aren't we? I'm going
to tart
be,
to tart.
Yeah. If you're a whore and you're interesting, reach out.
She said to me, hey, I was wondering if you wanted to do SFS on OnlyFans with me. What's that mean?
Oh, shout out for shout out.
Oh, right. I thought she wanted to shag me. I was like, oh.
Yeah, she wants you to... It's basically, I get it all the time. Do you want to retweet for retweet? I'm like, no, I don't want my content channels to be full of other people's shit. It's boring.
Oh,
I thought
she was asking to collab with me, and I was going
to
be like...
She wants you to basically... They do a thing, they do a shout out for shout out. So sex workers charge each other sometimes, or they do it for free as a favour.
Yeah.
By posting, oh, if you like me, you'll love this other girl.
Yes.
So it directs some of their subscribers to you.
I just don't... she's not really thought this through, has she? Like, what's she going to say with me? If you like me, and she's like pretty, and I'm not trying to do myself down here, but I mean, she's got a different look to me, hasn't she?
Well, I think... yeah.
And I don't have an OnlyFans. But she's beautiful. What a lovely...
Yeah.
Whatever her name is, Erin. Thanks for the message.
But see what I mean about sex workers? They work. They promote all the time. They get they're involved in all these like things that almost like spam people in a way.
Yeah.
But it's more like human operated. So they'll just mass DM.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone related to a sex... I get it all the time on my personal Instagram, and there's nothing straight boy toy on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, how have you? And I'm like, oh, it's because you're following the, which is smart, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've got smart algorithms.
It's probably just, I've just probably just been sent it by a bot, haven't I? And I'm not really kind of pleased.
Bottom. Yeah. Sorry. No idea why I said that.
Right. Let's let a little band through some of the week's queer news stories. I think we should just pick up on some of these. Puberty blockers for under 16s. NHS is no longer going to be prescribing them.
Do you know how many kids actually were put on them? Trans kids.
Close to fuck all.
86. Right. And this is this fucking national issue when we're going through a cost of living crisis where Diane Abbott has been fucking racially abused by some dickhead who's a Tory donor. Mm-hmm. But we're more, I just think this,
the distraction is real, isn't it? The distraction is real at the moment.
Fucking stupid. Like, and so many people misunderstand what puberty blockers actually do. Mm-hmm. And like I said, to anyone listening to this, I'm not going to explain it. Go to the NHS website and research it yourself. It is not sterilising children.
No.
Don't be so fucking naive.
They've not really thought it through, because they're just having a reactionary argument, aren't they? Like, if you think about it, you know, if you see this is not to you, this is just to explain to someone listening who's maybe not thought about this.
Yeah.
If you see someone who's transitioned and they're in, 50 years old and they've had to wait their whole life to start to transition, and you think, the face has still got the kind of masculine testosterone look.
Shrugging my fingers here, the passing thing, which I think a lot of... If someone wants to look a certain way and they can do something in their formative years to change that, that should be their choice.
Well, that stops them then going through puberty, doesn't it? And the effects of testosterone in puberty will permanently change your face. They'll make you look manly. You'll make your face look more man.
Yeah.
And then, so what you're saying to people is that you need to go through puberty, because puberty can still come on. When you say you come off the puberty blockers, you need to go through puberty. And then afterwards, you need to kind of try and undo the effects of puberty, which for trans women in particular is really hard. It's actually quite a cruel thing to do. And then people should bear in mind that I think it was 99% of people who transition don't regret it when they get in touch with them years later. That is a high success rate. So you're saying to them that you want them to look a certain way for their entire life, when if they were to just go in these puberty blockers just for those few years, and then they can allow puberty to happen afterwards, you're forcing them into a position that is going to affect the rest of their lives in a way that you probably haven't even thought about.
Yeah, and stop pretending you care about children.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's so fucking insincere, and I hate that. And I think if you really give a shit about children in this country, get your ass down to a food bank. What are you doing in your spare time to support the fucking underprivileged children in this country, which is growing by the fucking day?
Mm-hmm.
How many people I know who are raising kids who cannot afford to do anything with the kids? Yeah. They rely entirely on
family.
Trying to give the children a life experience. But let's put all of this time, energy, press, focus on less than 1% of the population.
Yeah.
Because that's the way this country operates. We bully people. We pick on minorities and we dehumanize them. And then we have people Brianna Jay. And then we're like, oh, I'm so shocked that this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, what do you expect?
Did you see that kid in London, it was East London a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
At the skate park, don't know where it was, stabbed 17 times. Jesus. Out on a roller skating date with their friends. This is happening all the time.
That's fucking horrific. And where is it? And where are the youth club? If you care about the children, where's your local youth club? What are you doing to support your local kids? How are you engaging your local councils? How are you voting so you can help funding to support kids? I really can't bear it. England seems to operate, and maybe I'm learning this because I come from an Irish family. This country operates so much on intellectual dishonesty and distractions, and people just die. People drop like flies. Minorities' lives are absolutely destroyed, ruined, ended. And no one gives a fuck. They just don't. And it's just, as I'm getting older, you start to... that's why I think I've started to rebel more.
Mm-hmm. And I've started... Actually, you've got older, you've rebelled
more.
Yeah,
because I'm people in this country generally don't like me anyway. I'm not particularly safe. Anytime I do something public, I hear the truth. So I'm like, fuck you, I may as well enjoy my life.
Yeah.
Why am I limiting myself if I'm going to have hate anyway? So I can't even imagine what these kids feel reading these newspaper reports or having the kids at school feeding back the news, and it's all about them and how they're wrong and how their parents are maiming them and how the parents are committing child abuse. And it's actually we're talking about less than 1% of the population.
You could argue by not allowing them to have puberty blockers that is child abuse as well. You could argue that
the suicide rate amongst trans people is astronomical.
So my mum works on Mental Health Trust, and she works on if you get sectioned, you go to certain wards.
Yeah.
And she said that the wards, she tells me this all the time, there's a lot of things happen there. There's some stuff you wouldn't, but it would make your hair fall out if you heard some stuff that goes on. But she said they're inundated with people who are trans and people who are migrants. Are the wards, these psych wards, are stacked with people who are in them two positions. And I had a discussion with her and I was like, think about the societal pressures that are going on for trans people and migrants. They are the two most demonised groups in society. Is it any wonder that they are needing medical care?
I would snap. And then you think, like, people act out. Of course they do. Like, we have need to stop holding people to different levels of, like, oh, well, you can't behave like that because you're this. Like, if you know everyone in a certain environment is going to be hateful of you or disrespectful or not want you around them or not want you to have equal rights, what makes you think that person's then going to turn around and respect you?
Yeah.
Or behave in a respectful way? I mean, lots of people don't. And I pat them on the back because I'm a reactive person. I would be snapping, punching, screaming, getting arrested. I know I would. Mm. So I really respect, but how many people get, like, what's the word? Radicalized by this idea of they all fucking hate me anyway, so why not?
Yeah.
And I think it's cruel because putting anyone into that environment is a lead balloon because it's always on their record, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're in a psych ward. Well, they're trans, so of course they're not actually trans, they're just mentally ill, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, so it just pays into this perpetual...
Look at fucking Rishi Sunak at the moment. Like, a lot of what he's saying is, a man is a man, and a woman is a woman. And I'm like, well, is this meant to distract from inflation, or the fact that you've fucked literally every pledge that you've made to people, so now you're just doing things like this? And the real-life outcomes of that, and like I said, I'm broadening it out just from trans people, I'm broadening it to, like, migrants. Stop the boats! Get them out! We're being invaded! Like, Why? It's no wonder that people are cracking up because you are making them into public enemy number one. Yeah. And it's no wonder that people are becoming more and more unkind. Is it really?
Yeah, and like it's I think, like, for me it's a bit, I know I'm white, blonde and blue eyes, but where I grew up, like Eltham, I grew up around those people who were very overtly racist when I was very young, so I know where those places, like Stephen Lawrence was killed outside my house.
I can't believe that. Like, literally, like, tell me that, honestly.
So, like, I know I've experienced,
do you know Doreen and all that?
Yeah, she's an amazing woman.
Yeah,
like, you see, and it's really weird, you see her on the train and you're like, that's fucking Doreen Lawrence. Like, she's a legend. You think, I don't know, you think, like, this woman's got to go through her life knowing that her son's life was ended by a stab wound, which is a horrific mental image. And then to take that and turn it into, you know, a career to empower people, to support youth. And, like, for context for the people listening, I come from Eltham. I've grown up around racists. I grew up around National Front, EDL, all of it. It was a really unpleasant thing. And let's be honest, and anyone listening to this who's naive, like, especially, like, white racist gays, I'm like, they don't like you either, because I grew up around them and they made my life hell.
Yeah.
And I moved out of Eltham when I was 15 and 3 months, literally as soon as I had my first pay, 15 and 4 months, because I got my first paycheck, I moved to Brentford. So I just think, like, we're all lumped together at the end of the day.
They forget that, don't they? That's interesting you say that, like, racist white gays sometimes, not all white gays are racist, before anyone jumps on me, but we all know there's a bit of an issue in the community and a lot of ignorance.
Right-wing antagonists.
Yes, right-wing white gays. And I'm like, that's so true what you said. They hate you too.
They're
busy with these people now, but you're fucking next. Yeah. You know, you put the trans people in front of you and you think, oh, they're different. You can pick on them, but I'm like one of you. No, no, these people don't view it like that. You are next. Your ability to adopt,
you're doing the work
marry
for them.
Yeah.
Then they haven't got to say faggot. They haven't got to say perf. They can let you take that on, take on the attack, because then they don't look homophobic because they're not coming for you directly. When I did Channel 4 thing on Facebook, and all the comments were from these, like, right-wing white gays. He doesn't represent us. He's disgusting. I'm like, bitch, show me your dream man on Instagram and give me 3 weeks and I'll be riding his jaw just to prove a point to you, because I fucking hate right-wing gays.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I do. I've always, my entire...
put so eloquently as usual.
No, it's true though, isn't it? There's a kind of, like, self-loathing, I think, comes with being a right-wing gay. And listen, if you Liam is borderline right-wing gay, Liam McDonald, but then he
I've never spoken politics of him.
Oh, do it. not so much Liam as a right-wing gay, but a lot of Liam, the people who put money in Liam's pocket, a right-wing
okay.
case. Do you remember when I started the live show and I was like, yeah, fascism can fuck off and all that, and the Tories are this, and then a couple of Liam,
yeah,
Team Liam on the front row.
Tories.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
Well, you can tell they were gay Tories because not one of them looks interesting.
They lit up when we did the sex toy chat, though. That's when they came to life.
Of course, because what to listen at the end of the day... I've worked in the adult, just for, again, I'm not assuming anyone listening to this knows my history. I've worked in the adult industry selling adult pleasure products and working on marketing schemes and brand development and product development for 16 years. Let me tell you, all those right-wing motherfuckers are the most self-loathing, dirtiest motherfuckers when it comes to sex. And this is why...
And I don't judge them for that, by the way.
No, I don't. But I think...
It still is a thing.
Stop punching down when you want your guts punched. Do you know what I mean? To put it eloquently. But I think... I don't know. I'm a real stress ball today. Number one, because of my journey pissed me off and that man violated me. But reading all these tweets yesterday about trans people and growing up where I grew up and then all this shit about stop the boats... I am a fucking bulldog.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sorry if you're right wing. I hope you get well soon.
So apparently LGBTQ+ charities have responded to the announcement from NHS England that they're going to have to stop prescribing puberty blockers. Mm-hmm. So they announced, it was yesterday, NHS England said there's not enough evidence to support the safety or clinical effectiveness of puberty blockers. It said that treatments of puberty suppressing hormones should not be routinely available at this time. It's handy for them, really, isn't it? Like, it's the government has got its fingers all over this, and you can just see, like, the direction of travel once again, even amongst Labour, even amongst, like, Keir Starmer, who was sort of getting in. Do you not like Keir Starmer?
No.
I don't hate him. What's your issue with Keir Starmer? Do you think he's insincere?
And I just feel, I know that all politicians, my dad has always said one thing to me since I was a kid, never trust a politician. And I thought, and you start to think I would like to, because you like to believe you're putting your vote and your time and your energy into, like, obviously I'm Corbynite, of course. Not that he doesn't have his flaws, and I'm not going to say that. But, like, look at what's happening with Diane Abbott.
Yeah.
Like, that's the prime example of who's really speaking.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I actually like Diane Abbott more than I like Jeremy Corbyn. I think that what people should remember about Diane Abbott is just have a bit of respect for Diane Abbott, because firstly, there is the first woman of colour to enter Parliament in the 1980s. Mm. She has taken some shit, Diane Abbott. And at the end of the day, she's only trying to do the right thing most of the time. And just for some reason, it's interesting. You get a lot of white gays do this, that they want to attack Diane Abbott. And you say, why? What is it about Diane Abbott that you particularly hate? And they can't put the finger on it, but we know what it is that you don't like about Diane Abbott. It's that she is a black woman and you are insidiously racist under the surface.
Because she's a self-assured, successful person. Yes, she has made mistakes, yes, in interviews, and I'm sure...
Is this when she got her numbers wrong on fucking LBC?
A lot of hyper-intelligent people do fumble when you talk to them, because it's a tension thing, and it doesn't matter how media-trained you are.
She was ill.
Yeah, but even when there's a fucking camera and shit in front of your face or a microphone, you do have a tendency to fall over your world. I've met her. I shared a stage with her, with Ava Vidal, host of the show.
Was Diane Abbott on that as well?
Yeah, and she was absolutely lovely. I don't agree with... She then, a few months later, came out of a few anti-sex work things, which I was really unhappy with, because obviously my background is...
Yeah.
My friends are sex workers. Uh-huh. I'm now a...
What did she say?
I can't... It was about a university doing a... I can't remember the exact...
Oh, did she comment on something?
It was about... She was disappointed in... It was about the dangers of sex work in response to a university doing a support for sex workers scheme.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking, if your issue is with sex work, why would you then be concerned with a university doing a support system for sex? Because, I mean, if you don't like whores, if it upsets you, if you think it's archaic, just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's intellectual dishonesty. But a lot of her politics I obviously agree with.
Yeah.
You know, and I it was a pleasure to meet her. I had a really interesting conversation with her.
Yeah.
We spoke about my career. You know, I had all these products that I was giving out in goodie bags, and she was engaging with me.
Was she?
Yeah, but not like, I mean, I wouldn't say what.
She's got to be careful how much she engages, I'm sure. Yeah, imagine the Daily Mail with that.
She was very, very polite. She was very kind. She was very, asked me my name. She was asking me about my career. She was super engaged. And it was really pleasant to meet someone like she's had a career as long as Madonna almost, just free. I mean, she started in 1987. So her, Diane Abbott's career, Madonna was 1984. So Diane Abbott's career is huge.
It's lasted, that's an interesting comparison. I've never heard Diane Abbott compared to Madonna.
I compare everyone to Madonna.
And the Spice Girls.
My friend turned 38 the other day and she was like, oh my God, I'm scared. I'm like, no, you're Madonna. You're just releasing Ray of Light. So just think of yourself like that.
Oh, is that when Madonna, she was what, 38?
Yeah. So
makes me feel fucking old.
I'm on the Girly Show tour right now.
Yeah.
So I'm promoting Erotica, which kind of makes sense because I'm also shaking my old bones around. And then, but mine, I'm just hemorrhaging subscribers as I do it. She was selling out stadiums. But yeah, like I said, Diane Abbott is not perfect. But I think if people were just honest with themselves, we are trained in this country a lot of the time to, like I said, insidious racism. Mm-hmm.
It's systemic. And we try and pretend it's not, but it's put in there, isn't it?
Look at the comments that were made the other day. Oh, it makes me want to hate all black women. That was that was a Tory donor. And he's donated 10 million to the...
Yeah, they're not giving that back, are they? That's the thing.
Where would London and this kind of... I mean, my life, personally, would be awful if I didn't have my black female friends in it. Black women are amazing, culturally, with the context and what so many black women experience, the way it develops character and perspective on life. I have one friend in particular who I lean on a lot emotionally, and she does the same for me. Mm-hmm. And I think like this country and like, I just don't understand this issue with black women.
It's disgusting. I lean on...
We'd be such a fucking boring nation.
How often do I say this? Like my partner Steve is black. For those of people who've listened to the podcast for ages might know that. And my mother-in-law is lived with it for a bit and everything. So my mother-in-law is a woman that I lean on all the time, and she's incredible. So black women are my emotional linchpin, and to see some come out with something like that, which is what he is for doing that, for making that comment, and then to have the audacity afterwards to say that this isn't misogynistic or racist when it is both of them things.
I do deals with Jamaica.
Well, fuck, what, because you take black people's money and you think that makes you not racist? It's making me angry talk about the conservative sort of ministers that came out yesterday and were saying it's unfortunate what he said. It's time to move on. No, we don't move on until you acknowledged it and you said sorry. And you think...
And you give the 10 million back.
Oh, well, they're not getting that back because they can't afford it, can they? Another thing about when Diane Abbott went on LBC and she was rinsed for getting some sums wrong when she was put under pressure by Nick Ferrari, who's obviously, you know, Nick Ferrari is, he's got sort of gravy for blood, kind of sounds like he's about to die.
He gets redder and redder every day. He looks like a Costa coffee cup.
He's going to pop one day. You're going to hear. Try and listen to it. If you're ever in an Uber and LBC's on, which is generally the kind of where you would be.
Yeah. If your driver is Caucasian with burst blood vessels.
You can hear Nick Ferrari breathe. He's Ferrari, like that. So he had his thing with her and he threw some maths questions at her. I'm sorry, we're not putting Diane Abbott up to be the nation's maths teacher, are we? She's not taking us through Key Stage 3 maths. She's there literally to have a chat about ideas around policy. And just because she didn't know her numbers off the top of her head, I think that's just a really shitty trick that was pulled there.
It's just trying to undermine it. And I feel like anyone listening to this who's like, I think when you hear a lot of people on podcasts and stuff, you're like, why are two white guys talking about this? I think because we should be.
Yeah.
Because my black female friends say to me, I am sick of having these conversations. I am sick, especially post Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
I'm sick of having these conversations. I'm sick of doing the educating. Educate yourself. So I feel like we should be teaching our friends and like calling shit out and acknowledging things for what they are and tackling intellectual dishonesty, which is my biggest bugbear, is the intellect. Like, just be honest, because everyone's so scared to say, like, for example, white gays who are like, oh, it's just preference, I'm just not into that. I'm like, well, that is racist. You can dance around it any which way you want. How can you say, when I'm saying preference, I mean sexual, romantic, how can you say with a straight face, I'm not racist, but there is no way I will ever find a black man attractive, be romantically attracted to them, or emotionally connect? I'm like, that, how can you?
I think that what it was interesting, you're saying, like, why are two white guys sit here talking about this? Well, that's because we happen to just be here today. You ask a lot of black people, they are sick of doing the educating for people.
They're sick of being podcast guests. Here's my trauma. Like, I'm not going to ask you about your career, your likes, your dislikes, your, you know, your favorite things, but let's talk about When was the last time someone was racist to you? How did they make you feel?
Tell me about the racist thing. It's got its place, but it's not an all-the-time thing, is it?
It's tiring. I feel like when you grow up, like, I come from South London.
Yeah.
Like, so Windrush came here 4 years before my family did.
Right.
And I'm white, blonde, and blue eyes. Uh-huh. So, and like, do you mean that immigration was in this... My family moved to Peckham into an area which had, like, mm-hmm. black people living there. So... Black people were in this country before me, mm-hmm. technically, mm-hmm. in my bloodlines. Like, we were in Ireland and Cork.
The similarities as well between... I'm not going to say too many similarities, and I'm not going to overemphasise this because I'm neither Irish, even though I'm Scouse, nor black.
I just assume you are. I assume everyone is. Anyone that I get along with.
I think there's somewhere along the lines, maybe, but the similarities in how you were, like, those two specific minority groups were treated when they arrived in the UK around the same time. You know the old school signs, no blacks, no Irish, no dogs,
yeah.
written on signs, still rent a flat. Like, the... Some people don't understand the similarity between the treatment of Irish people by the British state, which terrorised and brutalised them, and black people...
Starved us. So
yeah.
Starved my aunts. I mean, I heard some... I was reading some... I was talking to her because when my granddad's died, I've been connecting with family, and I was hearing some stories about what happened when my nan came here, and, you know, it makes you... Because mm-hmm. you think, that's my nan, like, she's mm-hmm. like a goddess to me, and you think how she was treated, and, like... For example, she would go to restaurants and stuff, and she wouldn't want to talk because she had a very thick Cork accent.
Yeah,
and you knew, and like she could pass obviously as white, but then when she was trying to get jobs, mm-hmm. when she was trying to build a career, like mm-hmm. earn some money, because she'd been sent here to look after her younger sister. She didn't come here by choice. She came here because her younger sister ran away, and she was sent to look after. Because Irish families, like back in the day, like you're going to go and look after your sister.
Right.
So she came here and was looking for a job. And the only place she ended up finding a job was in a hearing aid factory wrapping the boxes.
Right.
Nowhere else would entertain her. But yeah, there were, and I feel like when you live in the part of London I'm from, like Southwest, there's a huge amount of mixed race people who are Irish and Caribbean because of that time, because a lot of Irish people moved here around the same time as Windrush.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Irish and Caribbean people were alienated together. So of course people were like, you know,
bonds
were got on with life and, you know, met people they found romantically and sexually attractive.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We've ended up going Diane Abbott. I didn't necessarily mean to go on about Diane Abbott, but the thing is, I'm glad we've had a chance to have a conversation about the Diane Abbott stuff, because it's a fucking disgrace the way that was dealt with yesterday. And to kind of go, right, it's time to move on. I'm sorry, mate, like this has arrived in today's news cycle. We can't move on within hours. Do the right thing. Say it's racist. Then we can move on.
Yeah.
Going to end on this because we're going to be out of studio.
I like that. Yeah.
The percentage of US adults identifying as LGBTQ+ has more than doubled since 2012. What are your thoughts? 7.6% of Americans as a whole identify as LGBTQ+. That is majorly in Gen Z and Gen Alpha. 1 in 10 millennials, 1 in 5 Gen Z adults identify as LGBTQ+. The whole point behind me starting this podcast years ago was that it's not just gay men anymore, is it? The LGBTQ+ spectrum is massive, and 1 in 5 young people identifies that way. This is no surprise to me. Yes.
Is it really growing, or are people just feeling more honest to declare who they are? I mean, you know my experiences with discreet people, people who are not out of the closet. If you think anyone you think the percentage might be discreet, times it by 6. I'm telling you, so many people are open to it, and just now these younger people, because of a good side of social media, is being exposed to people who you can relate to and being proud and being able to educate yourself on queer history,
so absolutely.
You feel empowered to speak out because you know what people went through.
Nearly 10% of American adults at the moment have had partners of both genders, and that's their thing, and they continue to do that. And I thought, right, okay, this is just...
I'll go to America then.
Yeah.
Get passed around like a spliff at a barbecue.
Yes. So I thought that was good news to hear that this week. Really nice.
Welcome to the club, guys.
Yeah, welcome. Step in. The water's...
You have to learn Madonna's discography.
You do, yeah. Stepping in. The water's tepid in. There might be a bit of jizz in there, but it's okay. I'm describing the...
We've got some doxycycline for that. It's all good.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm describing the jacuzzi at any sex establishment there. Kind of the water's tepid and might be a bit of jizz in there.
The Liza Minnelli cruise.
Yes. Right, Topher, we will catch up again soon. It's been really good to see you again this week. Nice one.
Play Outkast UK on TikTok and Instagram. Just search Play Outkast UK.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outkast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outkastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outkastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.